All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Sorry about the Friday show, everybody. My voice was basically gone on Friday morning. It kind of went hit or miss from then until Sunday. Preached on Sunday. It's hit or miss then, and it's doing much better now. But anyway, so hopefully I'll be able to yell and scream again. Let me say to everybody in the chat tonight, the Rumble chat, Mojave Jeep is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Judy Anita is on. Veronica 18201 is on. GJGCK is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Guitar Glenn is on. John Phillips is on. Big Scott 1 is on. General Plowman is on. ED209H is on. Robin Aroni is on. Mike Griffith is on. Waterline 46 is on. D9597 is on. Sheila K is on. Waterline 46 is on. Let me see here. Salty Gonads is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Hands Like Donovan is on. Jim Brody is on. Let me see. Scrolling down. Richard Perry is on. K4VMS is on. Biggie 926 is on. Let me see here. Let me grab one or two more. Leorny Thus, something like that, is on. Alligator 1960 is on. Skunk 71 is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Patty K44 is on. Scrolling down, just a couple more. Mini Ball is on. One or two more. Ski 824 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me just grab one or two more here. Jim Kohler is on. Uncle Wally's on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Now, as I said on Sunday morning, you're like, Tom, you mean sometimes this podcast actually spills over into Sunday morning, and Sunday morning spills over into the podcast? Absolutely. I cleaned it up a little bit on Sunday morning. Some things I shouldn't say that I've said, but never cussing or anything like that, but things that went over the line. I try not to say those things, but I still say them here on the podcast. But anyway, I'm not backing down any rhetoric. You know why? Because that argument does not apply to me. There's a great rant by Greg Gottfeld versus Jessica Tarlov on The Five. It doesn't apply to us. If both sides had a rhetoric problem, then I would say both sides have a rhetoric problem. Both sides do not have a rhetoric problem. The left has a rhetoric problem. And intermittently throughout the show tonight, we're going to start off in Democratic Party rhetoric, and then we'll do something else, and then we're going to shift back into Democratic Party rhetoric. Then we're going to do something else and shift back into Democratic Party rhetoric, because I want you to see how they talk. We don't talk like this. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Here's the thing. If you are right in an argument, do you apologize too? Maybe some of you do. I don't. Ever. If I'm not wrong in an argument, I don't apologize. My wife and I don't argue, but if we did, she came up to me and she was completely wrong and said, hey, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry. I say, yeah, I appreciate it. I accept your apology.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'm sorry too, because I was neutered 10 years ago and we got married. No. You know what? If I'm right, I'm not apologizing. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I need to tone down my rhetoric, because there's no rhetoric that I need to tone down. The only rhetoric that I actually espouse is that which is true. That's it. That's the only rhetoric that I espouse. I don't espouse that CO2 is an existential threat to your life. I don't espouse that a cold, COVID-19, will kill you. And then you need a mask. You need a social distance. You need to close your businesses and take 10 injections. I don't espouse those things. I don't espouse that there's a trans genocide when there is no trans genocide, except for the only genocide that's actually being perpetrated is by trans people. I don't espouse anything that's not actually true. Do I call Democrats Nazis? Yes. You know why? First of all, because that's what they call us. And I want to illuminate the fact that the only people that have anything in common with Nazis are, in fact, the left, since Hitler was not alt-right. He was alt-left. Imagine that. It's amazing. I guess it's not a matter of who was present during history. It's who writes about it. That Hitler ends up being called alt-right. How are you alt-right when you're a national socialist? Can anybody explain? Aaron, can you explain it to me? How is it that you're alt-right when you're a socialist? I'm just curious about that. But anyway, so Democratic Party rhetoric is the problem. It's the title of the show. The only problem, there's no problems coming. Listen, Republicans are geldings half the time. I'm a Republican. You're a Republican. We're not geldings, but our representation oftentimes is. And as I've said a million times on this podcast, out of the 535 on Capitol Hill, and I'm including Republicans and Democrats, there are maybe 8 or 9 real Republicans. Like, Tom, you've gone down for 15. I know. And that's on purpose. There's eight or nine that are actually real conservative that would lose their job for conservatism. Most Republicans will bend their conservatism to keep their job. But anyway, on to the problem. The problem is the Democrats. Now, here we go. Thex video. They all do. Play for me.
Let me ask you tonight. Do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
We are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
He's a fascist to his core, is what Tampon Tim says. And you hear fascist dictator from Dan Goldman. You hear the definition of fascism given by one of the biggest ignoramuses on the planet, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she says fascism is a uniting of racism, bigotry, and nationalism. No, it's not. What does it have to do with racism, fascism? Nothing. What does it have to do with bigotry? Nothing. Tommy, you saying that racism and bigotry are good? Absolutely not. But is that what fascism is? If you're going to call somebody fascist, you ought to at least know what it is you're calling them, because what they're actually calling them is that which they are, which is Moderna is fascist.
Yep.
It is the merging of governance and corporatism. That's what fascism means. Fascism is what they have imposed and inflicted upon us. The merging of governance and corporatism, i.e., you have the FBI meeting with Facebook to take people like the Tom Lively podcast down. That's fascism. The merging of what? Governance and corporatism, a disinformation governance board that will then go to private companies and tell them what to censor and what not to censor. That is fascism. Doesn't that sound more like Hitler? I mean, was Hitler a racist? Yes. But it had nothing to do with his fascism. His fascism was the merging of corporatism and governance. And the only people that had that in common are the Democratic Party. Do Republicans, do sycophantic, spineless Republicans also participate in this? Yes. But that is what fascism means. And you have, who is it that's inciting the violent rhetoric when they are using the word fascism as a parallel to Adolf Hitler? They know that's what they're doing. And they're calling him a fascistic dictator. Okay, and then there's two assassination attempts. Imagine this. There's two assassination attempts. And then the leading voice in young conservative politics is assassinated on live television. And then they tell you to tone down the rhetoric. So all of the assassination attempts are being conducted by the people telling us to tone down the rhetoric. How does that make sense to anybody? Well, you know, what about the Minnesota shooting with the congresswoman in Minnesota with Lance Bolter? What about him? I talked about this on Sunday. From the pulpit, Tom? Yeah. Tom, you're not supposed to mix politics with pulpit. Hey, show me that Bible verse. Aaron, break out that Bible verse.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, you can't. It's not there.
No.
So I don't go by that. Because you know why? It's not true. That's just some, you know who made up no politics from the pulpit? A gelding who's afraid to mix politics from the pulpit. The same people who amassed, the same people who closed their churches, the ones that act like they didn't now are acting like these macho, Trump-supporting, anti-government preachers, the ones that all closed the churches for a year. Yeah, and pimped and hoarded vaccines to their congregations and had everyone wearing masks and sitting in COVID clumps. Those guys. I don't remember what I was talking about now. I lost my train of thought. But anyway, whenever I get into COVID, it's like over. But anyway, we don't need to change our rhetoric. They do. We're not the source of the problems. They are. We don't do it. I mean, I want anybody to find one video. And I almost put some of these videos in, just kind of ran out of time. I do them tomorrow because I really enjoy them. Is the Democrats, these people who are very outspoken and celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. They're being fired. They put out, I mean, imagine that being so dumb that you put, you're a nurse, you put out a TikTok video. And you know that the Laura Loomers and the lips of Tickshy Raychecks are all around you. They're all around you just hoping you put these videos out. And I love, and I love lips of TikTok. I go, you know, I'm hot and cold Laura Loomer. Because she called me, you know, not me personally, but call people like me fake MAGA. But anyway, because I didn't want to bomb Israel. I mean, Iran. But it, for Israel. But anyway, all these, I don't know how many videos there are. I actually only saw one, so I'm assuming there, but I'm assuming there's a lot of them, of these people who are celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination being fired. They're coming out with videos. I've been fired. One of them I had, but it turned out to be a parody account, so I deleted it. But anyway, that's a good thing. I am absolutely thrilled that people are getting fired for that. Tom, isn't that cancel culture? No. Cancel culture, and this is credit Matt Walsh taking this from, he has an excellent, excellent dissertation on this, only probably 7-8 minutes long. It is excellent, about the difference between their cancel culture and, quote, our cancel culture. I'll get canceled if I say ivermectin works, which I did, banned off of YouTube for all of eternity.
Yep.
That's a fact. I got banned for saying something factual. And again, any private company, this is what we've learned from the left over the last, over the 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, is that if it's a private company, you can do whatever they want. Right? That's what we heard. And so even if you're getting government exemptions under Section 230 as a platform over a publisher, you're still allowed to ban people, which that's not factual. But anyway, so that's what we've been told. So now what the left is saying is, what about free speech? I simply celebrated. There's been many people who did dances and celebrated and said Charlie Kirk rest and piss. All those people, a lot of them have been fired now because the Loomers of the world, credit to her. Shy Raychecks of the world, lives of TikTok, credit to her. Nick Sorters of the world, credit to him. All of them finding out who these people are, orchestrating an email campaign, and having these people fired. Here's the difference. You are a moralist person if you celebrate the assassination of a human being. Moralist. That's a fact. Me claiming that a man can never be a woman and a woman can never be a man, and me being banned off of social media for that, me claiming that vaccines are unnecessary for a 0.1% death rate, then the vaccines are causing mass infirmity and death, which is all factual, me being banned for that. If I even say the word vaccine again, and I don't mean to PP and moan about this all the time, but if I'm on Facebook, and right now I'm on Facebook and I have 10,000 followers on Facebook, I haven't been allowed to add one follower in 10 years. I mean, 10,000 followers. Have not been allowed to add one follower in years, 3-4 years now. 22,000 followers on my church page, and there's 4 people watching on Facebook right now, and I'm not being banned. I'm being banned. Now, left would say, hey, it's free. You know, it's a private company. You can do whatever they want. Well, okay, it's a private company. They got all you fired, too. They don't want you there because you celebrate the assassination of an innocent man.
Yep.
So that's it. Okay, there's the big difference between that and me being banned for saying the truth about COVID-19. And with you being a moralist human being celebrating the assassination of an innocent man. All right, more on this. Let's. The rhetoric all comes from the left, not from us. Angela Vanderplum video. Here's J.B. Pritzker. Play for me.
That is completely false. I have never called Republicans Nazis.
Everything that he has done has been tearing down constitutional democracy. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in Nazi Germany.
It doesn't take very long to tear apart a constitutional republic. Indeed, the Nazis did it in 53 days. And our democracy is almost as fragile. And we're seeing it right now.
The dangers that we saw in you know, Nazi Germany, especially in the earliest days of Nazi Germany, are the dangers that we need to react to now. If we don't, things will get much, much worse. And so we've got to raise alarm bells to everybody. It's a 5-alarm fire, everyone.
You just imagine what it would be like. And again, I know I talk about this all the time in the podcast because I don't have a cognitive understanding of it. What would it be like to be J.B. Pritzker and to just lie I was going to say lie for a living, but to lie is a lifestyle. I mean, he knows he's lying. He knows that the last little slide there, that Elon Musk did not do a Nazi salute. That's very obvious. And we have a myriad of pictures of Kamala Harris. We could probably find some of JB and many other Democrats doing this, you know. And that one will probably be froze frame right there. Tom did it. You know, whatever. We can do all that with everybody all day long. He knows that. He knows he's lying. He knows that he was lying when he said that he's never called Trump a Nazi or never called Republicans Nazis. He knows that he's lying there. What is it like? I don't know what it's like to live a fake life as a liar. I mean, this is a man, I'd say in his early 60s, multi-billionaire, who lives the life of a complete and total lie. Everything there is about J.B. Pritzker is a lie. Here's another one. RNC research video. J.B. Pritzker, we've seen a death on Friday as a result of ICE entering communities. Okay, now he's going to talk about there was a death in the Chicago area as a result of ICE. Was it a result of ICE? No, it was a result of an illegal immigrant running from ICE, and it ended up in a law enforcement life and death situation. Play for me.
No, ICE has been gathering its agents. It has taken them longer than I think they anticipated. And so we still, and they are active, as you have seen. And we've seen a death on Friday as a result of their entering communities and putting people into fear.
Do you see what I'm saying here now? These are the people that cause people to get assassinated. I don't need to dial down my rhetoric. They do. He just said that ICE caused the death. Now, I want to put this into perspective. These are all the same ICE officers that worked under Joe Biden. Has Donald Trump hired some? Very few. You can't get them hired fast enough. So Donald Trump's only been president for 8 months. So these are the same ICE officers that he was calling heroes because under the Biden administration, they were illegal migrant facilitators into the country. Now these same ICE officers, because they were forced to be facilitators, now these same ICE officers are arresting the ones they facilitated in the country, and now they are killing people, according to J.B. Pritzker. The assaults on ICE officers are up 800% since Trump took office, 800% because of J.B. Pritzker, and then we're told to cool our rhetoric? Now, did you ever hear me say, or any Republican, or any conservative, or any conservative commentator, did you ever hear us claim anything like that about ICE when Biden was in charge of ICE? Never. Not one time. Did we ever say, quote from J.B. Pritzker, is there's already been a death as a result of ICE being in our community. As if ICE went in and he calls them agents, you know, ICE agents. Because he's trying to parallel them to the Gestapo, just like he tries to parallel Republicans to Nazis constantly. So he's doing the same thing, and this does not stir up violence? I mean, it's already been proven to have done so against ICE officers when the violence against them is up 800%. 800%. So these people are the ones that are instigating violence. We are not. We don't need to chill our rhetoric. Donald Trump doesn't need to chill his rhetoric. What has he ever said? What has he ever said? He says things that are insulting to Democrats. Okay, insult does not legitimize violence. It shouldn't even instigate violence. I've been insulted a million times and not punched the person in the face who's insulted me.
Yeah.
So doesn't. And if I did, what would I say to the judge? Judge, this is a case of self-defense because words are violence. Words of violence. He called me a jerk. Words of violence. You know, that really damaged my soul. So I punched him in the face, broke his teeth. So, you know, I'm obviously innocent because he assaulted me first. Agree. No. See, that's exactly what's going on here. So J.B. Pritzker calling these people Gestapo, calling them Nazis, and says that a death resulted from them being in the community. It had nothing to do with them. It had to do with the illegal who ran from them and caused a life and death situation. That's what happened. If the illegal would have done what he was told to do, which was lay on the ground, put your hands behind your back because you're being deported to Venezuela or whatever it is that you used to live, then he'd be alive right now and everybody would be alive right now. All right, let's go to the next one. Eric Doherty video. Here's Rep. Jasmine Crockett. When I see ICE, I see slave patrols. Play for me.
But as somebody who understands history,
When I see ICE, I see slave patrols. Now, I never lived through the slave patrol period, but if you know the history of policing in this country, then you understand that they were born out of slave patrols.
So would everybody agree that if you're going to call our police department slave patrols, you're going to call police officers slave patrol officers, that you might instigate violence when you have some radical factions of your movement? And then she'll claim she never said anything, which, by the way, I have that video too, where she says that she has never, ever instigated any sort of violence using her own rhetoric. Right there, that's instigating violence when you say, what I see when I see an ICE agent is a slave patrol. Because people on her, and by the way, she knows that the radicals on her side will use that to legitimize violence. She knows that and says it anyway. We don't say things like this, so I don't need to chill my rhetoric. They do. Here's Tampon Tim, James Woods video. Play for me.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core." Let that sink in, and don't be a damn bit afraid of saying it, because that's exactly who he is.
All right, so fascism. Tim Walz, who wants to ban speech as a fascist, he wants to use the government, merging with corporatism, to ban speech, wants government-funded genocide of the unborn. And that, of course, is the merging of Planned Parenthood with governance. That's fascism. Calls Donald Trump a fascist to his core, when to his core, Donald Trump is the antithesis of fascism, and Tim Walz is fascism to his core. And you don't think that instigates violence when you say Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, says that Donald Trump is a fascist? You don't think that instigates? Well, let's see now. Did it instigate any violence against Donald Trump? I don't know. Just two assassination attempts. You have the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and then right after that assassination, I get told to chill my rhetoric. That's what I forgot to say earlier. Lance Bolter in Minnesota, the one who killed the Minnesota congresswoman and her husband. Who was he? Because now you got Jessica Tarloff on the 5, and everybody claiming that as right wing, as the parallel to Charlie Kirk, as well as the attack on Paul Pelosi. The attack on Paul Pelosi was from a left winger living at a house with a rainbow flag out in front of it. It was a known homeless nudist. Homeless nudist. Do you think he's voting? Do you think he's showing up at a Trump rally? And that gets claimed as right-wing violence. The attack on Paul Pelosi was basically a homeless nudist who occasionally lived at a house with a rainbow flag. That was the attack on, and who has never espoused a right-wing view in his life. And then you have the Lance Bolter attack in Minnesota, which killed the Minnesota congresswoman and her husband, and he shot one or two others. Problem is he had no King's pamphlets in his car and was appointed by Tampon Tim himself. And so you're telling me that a rabid Alex Jones listening Trump supporter was appointed by Tim Walz? So Tim Walz is going to appoint somebody who's just a rabid Trump supporter. But obviously not. So Lance Bolter was a leftist. Every shooting is done by leftists. Tom, you're exaggerating. Not, I can't think of a right winger. Even the ones that they claim are right wingers always turn out to be known previously to the FBI every time. So I don't buy any of that either. All right, let's go to Charlie Kirk for a minute. Mr. Producer tweet. I want these names for everybody to know. Brent, you're going to love this because it's one of them in Cincinnati.
Yep.
So here are the teams that felt it was too damaging to their reputations to do a Charlie Kirk tribute. The Detroit Lions, Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens, and Indianapolis Colts, and Minnesota Vikings. There you go. All from leftist cities. Hopefully, Corey Bowman can win in Cincinnati, become their mayor. We had him on the show. That's J.D. Vance's half-brother. So Detroit, of course, leftist haven. Cincinnati, leftist haven. Baltimore, leftist haven. Indianapolis, leftist haven. Tampon Tim's, Minnesota, leftist haven. So there you go. Those organizations did not pay tribute to Charlie Kirk before their NFL games on Sunday following his assassination in Utah this week. So find an appropriate way, appropriate, never calling for violence, find an appropriate way for them to pay a price for that. And Stephen King just found out the hard way because his new movie just bombed. You know why? Because he came out and lied about Charlie Kirk, made a false accusation, ended up having to take back the false accusation about Charlie Kirk, but it was too late. And he incites endless violence on a day-to-day basis by lying and calling people the names that they aren't. Stephen King. So his new movie just bombed. That's great. Good. That's exactly what needs to happen, just like all these leftists being fired. Good. And by the way, you're the ones, you guys, you wanted to open up that Pandora's box and take our political views into the office place. Well, enjoy the game. We're playing the game by your rules now, which are no rules. All right, let's go to the next one. Lives with TikTok video. State Department revokes Bob Villain's visa. Why? I wonder why they would do that. Well, here's why. Play it for me.
I want to dedicate this next one to an absolute piece of shit of a human being. The pronouns were.
All right, so his visa has now been revoked by the United States State Department, which, by the way, we have every right to do. Every right to do. It's the same thing. And listen, it gets to be sort of a tenuous argument when you're going back and forth with Israel versus Palestine and the Palestinian protesters that they got their visas revoked also. Well, if you're us, I don't have a problem with you being pro-Palestine. You have a right to do that. I don't agree with you. I'm just because they've been offered their state six times and turned it down so they can continue to fight. But anyway, because they get enriched by fighting Hamas and Hezbollah. But anyway, I digress. But I also know that Israel commits atrocities. So I get it. And again, we just don't belong to the fight. Doesn't have anything to do with us. But if you're going to, like, if people are going to come who are pro-Palestine and orchestrate blocking Jewish students from getting to class, then you're out. Simple as that. If you're gonna commit acts of violence in the name of a Palestinian state and you're here on a visa or a green card, then you can be deported. Simple as that, and have your visa removed and deported. Bob Villain here, who's gonna celebrate. Now, Aaron, you watched the video. Brent, you watched the video, right?
Yep.
Just watched it. Would you agree that he was celebrating? He means dancing. He's
oh yeah.
He's just full of the demonic fire.
He said his pronouns were.
Was yeah. were and celebrating. But yeah. Listen to his rhetoric now that his visa's been revoked, which means it's going to cost him millions of dollars in a tour in the United States of America. Play for me.
Yo, real quick. At no point during yesterday's show was Charlie Kirk's death celebrated. At no point whatsoever did we celebrate Charlie Kirk's death. I did call him a piece of shit. That much is true. But at no point was his death celebrated. If it was, go find me a quote. Go find me something that proves that we were celebrating his death. You're not going to find it because it didn't happen. What did happen is one reporter that bought their ticket online came with the sole purpose of finding something to report, and after I called him a piece of shit and we played a song, they have written that up as a celebration. Not a celebration, isn't a celebration, wasn't a celebration. Calm down.
See, these people are such practiced liars. I call it speaking with demonic conviction. Wasn't a celebration, never was a celebration, never has been a celebration, never happened. And they speak, and you would actually, if we didn't know the man and we had, you know, no interactions prior to this and didn't know his, you know, his political denomination, so to speak, we would actually believe what he said, wouldn't you? I mean, and just using his body language. Because, like, there's a lot of people, I have another cop in the room tonight, Brent, you can often tell people are lying, but not sociopaths and psychopaths. Mm-hmm. They actually believe their own lies, or they're so soulless and they're so devoid of conscience that they can lie without there being any affect in their physical fortitude. There's no affect to them. Like, you know, a lot of people you can tell when they're lying because of their body language. But this guy here can lie with demonic conviction. And he said there was no celebration. They didn't celebrate at all. Let's look at the video again. Play it for me.
I want to dedicate this next one to an absolute piece of shit of a human being. The pronouns were...
Now, Aaron, do me a favor and just mute it and play it, put it side by side, would you? So here he is. He's, now, if you're going to dedicate a song to somebody, would that be a celebration? Aaron and Brett, chime in.
Yeah.
That'd be a celebration. You're going to dedicate a song to him. I mean, that's what you do to your with your wife on your anniversary.
Yeah.
Dedicating a song to celebrate our marriage. Would agree?
Yeah.
So he's dedicating a song. Aaron Kott, of course, is saying his pronouns were. Now, look at his body language here. And he calls him a piece of S, of course, and rest in piss. Okay, and now look at his body. Is that not a celebration right here? Look at him. That's not a celebration? That's not a celebration? Right there?
Yeah.
That's not a celebration. Okay. I mean, that's what it means. I want to, if you happen to have stumbled upon this podcast and you're a leftist, this is what it means to be a leftist in 2025. You just lie for a life. Not for life, for a life. That's what you do. You don't lie even for a living. You are a disgusting, repulsive, disingenuous, devoid of all human dignity person. That's who you are. Because after he does this, you know, if I did this, you know what I would say? I would come out and say, you know what? I had a bad moment. I blew it. Any forgiveness that you could give me, I would appreciate it. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't insist upon it. But no, he just comes out and with conviction, with demonic conviction, actually lies. Just bold-faced lies. I mean, just using demonic conviction. Bold-faced lies. There was no celebration. No celebration, really. This isn't celebratory. What you're doing right here, this is not celebratory. He's absolutely celebrating what happened. The last part here, I mean, this is what I look like when I am about to get Krispy Kreme donuts. Right there. Yeah. Look at him celebrating right there. Look how happy he is. Happy that I'm, I mean, it just, what if we were like him? What if we were like him and these sort of violent things were happening to him? I don't think that he would respond really well to people celebrating the demise of somebody that he loved. Look at them. I mean, what a repulsive human being. And be a Democrat in 2025, you have to approve of this. And by the way, I don't care if you're one of those who actually said, I mourn the loss of Charlie Kirk. You're right there, but this is what you celebrate. Understand that. You might be right on Charlie Kirk as a Democrat, but here's your compatriot right here. Right here. The people who are dancing at his demise, spitting on his grave, telling him to rest in piss and mocking him. And not only mocking him, mocking his wife, Erica, and mocking his two little children. All right, let's go to the next one. So here we go. Giordano Bruno tweet, avoid Stephen King's new movie starring Mark Hamill. MAGA dollars should not be spent on these two haters. And I agree with that. You know what I do is I've got the streaming services. It's Aaron's fault. But I don't watch TV anymore. I used to watch them, but I just discovered, you know, you control your whole deal with streaming and whatever else. So once I got strong enough internet, what I do, there's specific stars I will not watch. I mean, I know everybody in Hollywood's a leftist. By the way, everyone in the NFL is a leftist for the most part. I mean, 60, 70% of the league is leftist. Still watch the NFL. Watch a lot of college football too. So I just discriminate. I discriminate based on how outspoken a person is. There's nobody more outspoken than Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. There's nobody more outspoken than Stephen King. They are devout, outspoken, use their platforms to push leftist narratives, Democrats. That's who they are. That's who they are. So when it's that bad, I don't watch it. Okay, if a person is just like, you know, if an NFL, you go up to an NFL football player and you say Republican or Democrat, and the guy just simply says Democrat, I'm not going to stop watching him because he's Democrat.
Yeah.
Now, if he uses his platform to push Democratic Party narratives and agenda items, I'm done with the guy. Period. That's it. If I was, you know, a Cincinnati Bengals fan, an Indianapolis fan, they'd be getting an email or a letter from me saying, why is it that you avoided the mentioning of Charlie Kirk's name? You have a man assassinated on national media. And you don't even mention the New York Yankees in the middle of NYC. Eric Adams is the mayor, and a man named Zoran Mamdani is about to be the next mayor. And they did a tribute at the Yankees and had Trump there like a day or two later or a day or two before. I can't remember. It all gets bound together after a while. So if they can do it there, explain to me why Indianapolis can't. Cincinnati, Minnesota can't. Well, I mean, you got Tampon Timmy there. All right, so anyway, look at the date there. Aaron, what is the date today?
It is the 15th.
15th, okay. So you look at the date there. So here's today's Breitbart News. Go to the next one for me. Here's Breitbart News. Stephen King's The Long Walk flops to the box office after he was caught spreading lies about Charlie Kirk. There you go. That's it. That's what. This is how you do it. This is how we have to play. Selectively pick your boycotts and boycott people. Absolutely. I know we can't boycott everything. I get it. And I don't impose my boycotts on anybody else. I'm not a boycott Nazi. If I'm boycotting something and Aaron tells me that he's watching it, buying it, whatever, I don't go to Aaron. Aaron, I'm boycotting that right now. I'm not one. It's like dealing with somebody who's a vegetarian or a vegan. Oh, my God. And you're sitting there eating a burger. You know, the abuse of those animals. Shut up. I'm eating. Okay. I mean, you know, I don't push it on anybody. I'm just saying that I boycott certain people. Stephen King's one. I will not have anything to do with Stephen King. Not a thing. Or Mark Campbell. Not a thing. And when they're really like activists, specifically activist studios, not a thing. All right, let's go on to the next one. Fox News video. My last little bit here on Charlie Kirk. Fox News video. See it. The shirt worn by a man who trampled Charlie Kirk's memorial. That's been happening too. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Appears similar to the one the alleged assassin wore the day of the shooting. Play for me.
Man trampled a memorial for Charlie Kirk at the Turning Point headquarters in Phoenix. Our photographer on the scene says the man kicked over flowers, vases, and balloons. He was taken to the ground by an onlooker and then arrested for trespassing and destroying a community memorial. Phoenix police say the suspect is 19-year-old Ryder Corral. And then also an interesting observation. It appears that the man who trampled the memorial may have been wearing a similar shirt that the alleged assassin was wearing on the day of the shooting here in Utah. It appears there's a logo that has a United States flag and an eagle on it. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, deep dive into this stuff. Got a little, I'm looking for it. May have to skip to it. Yeah, I'm going to have to, oh man, where the heck is all my stuff? I'm looking at what I got. I'm trying to get to a specific part. What the heck? Did I miss part of my stuff here? All right, I'll try to find it during videos. But anyway, so what does that shirt mean? Don't know yet. Don't know yet. But I want to know, and we just need to keep on tracking this stuff down. And as Steve Bannon says, I want a day-to-day update from the FBI. I don't want the occasional, and again, enough with all the rhetoric. We just want to say thank you to the Utah Department of Transportation and the Utah State Police and the local jurisdiction. Stop with all of your podium punditry, shut up and tell us about what you're doing to solve what happened with Charlie Kirk. And if anybody believes it was a single shooter, you've lost your mind. All right, back to Democratic Party rhetoric. Townhall.com video. Wow, Nancy Pelosi defends violent rhetoric. Play for me.
People don't have any intention of saying something that's going to lead to something dangerous, but we cannot take responsibility for the minds that are out there and how they hear it.
Other Democrats are quickly calling for gun control before we have the full picture of the alleged assassin. John?
All right. Mike Emanuel Forrest. Mike, as always,
thank you. All right. So Tom Elliott video, Dems last week. This is all Democrats last week. Play for me.
That man cannot see public office again. He is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated. And I hope these far-right podcasters come to their senses and recognize that this is not war. We do not divide this entire country based on political ideology.
We are on the eve of an authoritarian administration. This is what 21st century fascism is starting to look like.
I'm on the opposite side of that. I'm not with the Nazis.
People can finger point all they want. Look at the record. Look at the actions of what we are doing. I don't think a single person who has dedicated their entire career to preventing gun safety legislation from getting passed in this house has any right to blame anybody else but themselves for what is happening.
Like we're in a war right now to save this country, and so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
We look today at the left or the right as the enemy, and it's worth us stepping back and understanding how we reclaim a sense of ourself that maybe is not so rooted in politics, which is inherently oppositional. There has been a permissiveness about political violence. And I do think the president of the United States has to answer for the way in which he's created that culture of permissiveness.
They try to act like, oh, political violence, it's the Democrats and it's the liberals. And it's like, actually, I mean, I'm not going to say that like a left-leaning person cannot be violent, because that would be like crazy to say that somebody can't be. But baby, y'all got the white supremacists galore, okay? Like, all of them. You got the Proud Boys. You got the neo-Nazis inherently in, like, who you are. Y'all are violent. Like, right. Y'all, and most of your violence has to do with people that's got a little bit of melanin. Like, I can say all these things because they are true. That's not even just free speech. These are just facts. So don't get mad that I speak the truth and I speak facts, but I literally have never said anything to invoke violence. And I challenge somebody to go and find a clip of a Democrat invoking violence.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
And him and shut down the Senate!
Shout the crime statistics?
Not exactly like...
You need conservatives to be afraid of getting killed when they go to events so that they look to their leadership to turn down the temperature. The issue is right now, they don't feel like there's any fear. Like, I don't know. It's like memes. It's just memes to everybody, I guess. I don't know, bro. I don't know. I don't care. I'm playing video games, okay?
All right, the last one, of course, was Destiny. And right after... Jasmine Crockett, which, by the way, let me just say something about Jasmine Crockett. So Jasmine Crockett, first of all, says that she's never heard anybody on the left threaten violence. Then you have Destiny say that all Republicans should fear going out in public to public events. And that's what they should be feeling. Fear going to public events, that they could be assassinated going to public events. That's what Destiny says. He's got millions and millions of followers on YouTube. And it's funny. He's allowed to stay on YouTube. He doesn't get banned. I get banned for saying the word ivermectin. That's weird, isn't it? Weird. That's a real fair system we have going on here. He can actually say Republicans should fear going outdoors. The Republicans should fear showing up at public events because they should fear being assassinated. In his mind, in his convoluted mind, or he's just bold-faced lying, or some combination of delusion therein, he actually believes that the people who are perpetrating violence are the people who are not perpetrating violence. We're not doing it. They are. He is. I mean, we just had the leading voice in young conservative politics assassinated on national media. And this was done after that. And he's claiming that Republicans should be living in fear because of our rhetoric. Destiny's side just assassinated Charlie Kirk and has tried to assassinate Donald Trump twice, Brett Kavanaugh once, Steve Scalise once. When was the last time a Republican tried to assassinate a Democrat? Ever. And I just disproved their whole Lance Bolter argument. Never happened. Never. After Jasmine Crockett says, I've never heard a Democrat make any sort of threat. There it is, right there. Right there, Destiny. I haven't heard her call out Destiny. His real name is Stephen Bunnell. Millions and millions of followers. Really good stuff with him. And Piers Morgan show. It's really good debates on there with Destiny. You can pull all those up on Twitter. Really good stuff. Just too long to show on the show. All right, let me shift over to transgenderism for a minute because, by the way, that's who's shooting everybody. That's who's shooting. Outside, really, credit, although Thomas Crook's weird looking and on a BlackRock commercial, along with Ryan Routh. That's weird, too. Aaron, remember.
That's just coincidence.
Right, it's just coincidence. I mean.
Don't look too close.
Don't look too close. I mean, was Ryan Routh and Thomas Crooks the two assassins of Donald Trump? The two attempted assassins of Donald Trump, were they both on BlackRock commercial? Oh, yeah, they both.
It's weird, though.
I mean, it's just really odd. It's like,
ignore that.
Charlie Kirk was having a come to Jesus moment with Israeli operatives right before he was assassinated and turned down a visit from Netanyahu right before he was assassinated. But sorry. You just ignore all that, right? I mean, Israel will never be involved in assassination. I mean,
Israel.
They're just dancing right after right after 9/11. I mean, and every Jewish person involved in those buildings made sure they had took the day off before.
No.
Not the day of, even. I mean,
not Israel.
I mean, come on.
No.
They're told that if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. But even though the word Israel didn't even exist yet, even Abraham, the word Abraham didn't exist yet at the time in Genesis chapter 12. Now, nothing to do with the nation state, the secular state of Israel. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, so let's hop into trans for a minute, because there is a trans genocide, but it's a genocide being caused by trans mass shooters. So here's just some fun stuff about trans. And a little, I think I got a little, I threw a little Democratic Party thing at the end here. Libs of TikTok video breaking. Henry McClenathon, a male, just won the Oregon, won the Oregon's, it's hard to say. I mean, it really is. There he is. He's winning. He, a male, just won the women's. That's what it means to be a Democrat. You have to talk like this. There's really no way to even do it. But if you're going to talk about Democratic Party politics, you have to use sentences like Henry McClenathon, a male, just won the Oregon's women's 5,000 meter junior varsity race by over 2 minutes. And look at the sycophantic morons cheering him on. Play it for me. So, normally a 5,000 meter race would be decided somewhere between 1 and 5 seconds, between first and second place, first, second, and third, fourth, fifth, and sixth place. I mean, it'd be five or six seconds. He wins the female race by 2 minutes as a sycophantic weirdo moron cheers him on, knowing that she is cheering on a man in the women's race. Way to go, Henry. And you don't think you're wrong? As a woman cheering on a man in a woman's race? I mean, that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Here's another example of what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Brian Krasenstein, who Brian talks just like this. So I'm going to read his tweet in his own language because this is how Brian talks. Although he is married to a woman. Maybe she's just a beard. I don't know. But if you're a man who has the relationship with a trans woman, you are in a heterosexual relationship. This is what it means. This is a paid Democratic Party commentator, a paid Democratic Party propagandist, because she is a woman and you are a man. So I talked about this on Sunday morning. So if you are a man in a relationship with a trans woman, so you are having sex with a trans woman. Now that trans woman, get this, Aaron, get this, Brent, get this, everybody's watching, has no boobs.
Yeah.
Okay. Has no vagina.
Correct.
Okay. So what are you attracted to that makes you hetero? He has a hairy butt. Hairy everything else. Hairy chest. Man nipples and a penis.
Yep.
So how exactly are you in a heterosexual relationship? And when you do have sex with this guy, you're getting whisker burns on your face. How exactly, I've been married for 29 years, so I've had a lot of sex. And I've never, stop laughing over there. I've never walked away with whisker burns. But a man in a heterosexual relationship with a trans woman would. So it makes absolutely no sense what Brian Krasenstein is saying. And that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. If you're a woman, quote, if you're a man who has a relationship with a trans woman, a man, fully penis man, you are in a heterosexual relationship. So you're in a heterosexual relationship with a person who has an erection? Okay, are you going to help me understand?
I was just going to say, maybe his wife gets erections too. So,
I mean, is it a female erection? Is that what that is? I just help me understand it, because you are attracted to a man's erection, but somehow you're heterosexual?
Her penis, you bigot.
You're right.
Her erection.
Her erection. Yeah. Her penis, her erection. Her man nipples, her hairy rear end. Okay, I can tell you, there's few things that when I was looking to date women all those years ago before I was married, that if I was like, say I was, if I was going to the, we went on a beach date or something common here in Florida. Stop laughing.
I can't.
I'm going on a beach date. Okay. And now I'm trying not to be insulting to some women, but as long as you hide it and I don't know, I don't care. I'll put it to you that way. When if you have this problem, just hide it. And I don't know, I don't care. But if I went on a beach date and I just, you know, happened, your butt came across my face somehow or another, and I just saw your butt, and it was hairy, and you're a woman, I'm out. God. I'm out. Okay, I mean, that's it. I'm out. So this guy, he'd be like, I'm in. Yeah. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, and just to be with Brian Krasenstein to espouse this, I mean, how much of an asinine individual do you have to be to espouse this as a principle of life? That if you are a man in a relationship with another man pretending to be a woman, because that man puts on lipstick and wears a blonde wig, that somehow you are in a hetero relationship when that person has no female body parts whatsoever? Makes absolutely no sense at all. Let me do some preaching here. Now listen, while I'm doing this preaching, guys, I need you to go all the way up to James Lee, and we're going to start from there.
Okay.
You got it?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So, because that's the little spiel I'm going to do here at the end. But anyway, I want to give you this preaching spiel before I go tonight. It's 10 o'clock. We got it. We got several minutes, but I mean, 15 minutes or so, then we're going to be off. But anyway, a lot of people are saying, you know, you endlessly, as a Christian, during these times, you know, we had one of our leading voices assassinated. And disagree with everything Charlie. I don't agree with every last thing Charlie Kirk said, but he was a man of God preaching the gospel of Jesus and a real biblical based gospel of Jesus. You have to now delineate. You have to now specify, because there's a lot of so-called gospel preachers who are not preaching a gospel message, which I don't have time to get into right now. But one of the things that I want to attack is the endless, we need to be like reaching out to these people. Is that what the Bible says? We need to be reaching out to the left. Like just, you know, telling the left endlessly, you know what? We're just reaching out to you right now. We're just trying to communicate with you, and you lower your rhetoric and I'll lower my rhetoric, which just means bend over and grabbing my ankles. But anyway, I'll do that because you know what? I want to reach you for Jesus. Is that how Jesus was? I'm just curious. Aaron, was he?
Nope.
Now, all we have, would everybody agree, is Jesus, and that is the Bible, because Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. 1 John 5, 7. Jesus is the Word. There's no delineation between Jesus himself and the Bible, because Jesus is the Word. So if we're going to describe Jesus, then we ought to use the Jesus to describe Jesus. Would everybody agree? Yep.
Makes sense.
All right, so if we're going to go, we need to reach out to everybody. Because people will be like, Tom, you don't seem to somebody that will reach out to everybody. And it's funny, because one of my favorite preachers on the planet is a man named Jonathan Shuttlesworth. And somebody put out a post, we need to be praying for the shooter of Charlie Kirk. And then Jonathan reframed it and reposted himself saying, I'll pass. I'll pass too. And I actually reposted his post. I'll pass. You're like, Tom, to some of you, that may sound not Christ-like, does it? And then what is your Christ based in? Give me a Bible verse that denotes that that's not Christ-like. Please send it to me in the chat. I'm way behind in the chat. Man, you guys talk a lot. I'm glad you do. Man, I can't even get to the bottom of this thing. But anyway, what Bible? Because there's a lot of things that people think are Christ-like that are not in the Bible. Therefore, they're not of the Jesus, which is the Bible, because Jesus is the Word. So if it's not of Jesus, then how is it Christ-like? That makes sense so far?
Yeah.
All right, so why would I not pray for this person? Well, because you are not called to. I mean, Jesus himself said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up the last day. Is he drawing this person? I'm not praying for him then. Is he drawing them? All right, the other thing, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him, right? Luke 17:3. And Jude, the book of Jude says around, it's verses 20 to 23, it's found in there. Snatch others from the fire and save them. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Some people have no interest in Jesus, then I'm not going to give that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Matthew 7:6. Why wasn't Jesus just endlessly prostrating himself before the Sanhedrin? Why wasn't he endlessly prostrating himself before the Pharisees and said, please come to me. Oh, please come to me. I'm here for you. I'm all the modern Christian songs. I'm chasing you. I'm longing for you. Why wasn't that? Why is that not in the Bible? Because there's people who are not interested. And if they're not interested, you know what? What are you supposed to do then? If a household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house of the city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for those people. And you're supposed to, I long for you. Please come. I'm praying for you. No, thank you. No, thank you. That's not how Jesus was. Then why would I not? Why would I do what Jesus didn't do in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me? I would love to hear an explanation of how it's Christ-like to do anti-Christ things. I would love to hear it. But again, on some have compassion, making a distinction. If they're, you know, snatch others from the fire and save them, that's Jude 23. And right before that, on some have compassion, making a distinction. Because some people aren't interested. If they're not interested, I'm not going to waste my time or my compassion or my emotional energy or my conversation. I can tell when the door is open and when the door is closed. And you know what? The guy who just assassinated Charlie Kirk, has he opened a door, Aaron, to be evangelized?
No.
Okay,
no.
Screw him. Screw him! This doesn't sound Christ-like. I just read you all the Bible verses right there. Go ahead, contradict me. Bring it on. But you better have them memorized because I do. And what? Don't come to me. Aaron witnessed this at the church. And I was outside it was our old church building. It was really kind of a narrow way in and a narrow way out. But anyway, I'm talking to this woman. She was so upset, young woman. She was so upset because I said, you need to take trans ideology and flush it down the freaking toilet. First of all, then she falsely accused me, of course, saying that I said flush trans people down the toilet, which I did not. Of course, trans, gay, all the ideology, flush it all down the toilet. I didn't say that. So, okay, what's your Bible verses for us to embrace it, reach out to it? What is it exactly? Jesus didn't. If you're having a gay pride parade, then I'm not going to be out there begging you to come to Christ. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I'll raise them up at the last day. We're told in Philemon 1:6 to pray to be active in sharing your faith. And God will open the door. So just, everyone, and again, people get in chains about this because they feel unloving because they're sitting there going, well, you know what? I really don't feel called to pray over this person. Yeah, don't. You shouldn't. We're even told in 1 Timothy 5:22 to not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share on other people's sins. Keep yourself pure.
Yep.
Whoops. How many of you as Christians, right there when I said that, out of 1 Timothy 5:22, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share on other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. You're thinking, man, that sounds really harsh and anti-Christian. It's not. It's the Bible. That is Christianity. You've been taught a worldly, sin-filled grace Christianity from all the pastors that call themselves evangelical. You seen the pastor of Jasmine Crockett's church preaching? There's a church in Sarasota right now. It was on TV. And because all the murals in Sarasota have been eradicated, all the trans murals have been eradicated from Sarasota due to a decree by Ron DeSantis, they're painting their own mural on their church property. And this is a church that claims to be a born-again evangelical church where you have to be born again to go into the kingdom of God. How are you going to be born again when you're gay? You can't be because you can't repent of sin. You can't be born again unless you repent of sin. So what are they preaching exactly? They're preaching a worldly Pharisaic cultism based on humanistic love. You just accept everybody. Because I accept everybody, I'm going to heaven. So by your works, you're going to heaven then. Again, I could spend all night on this, but I'm not going to do that to you. So let's go read closing night. It's final 7 minutes here. I'm sorry for the snorting and everything else in the microphone. This is a James Lee video. Let's go the Israel angle. Max Blumenthal just told Tim Dillon that Donald Trump fears for his life specifically because of Israel. Play for me.
Does the president of the United States fear for his life?
Yes. Yes, I mean, obviously he fears for his life. And I was told that he feared for his life before the two assassination attempts, one coming within a millimeter of striking his head. I mean, let's not forget about that.
But I mean, just to clarify, he doesn't fear for his life because of Ireland.
I mean, I've been told, yes, that Israel is a major source of concern for Trump. I mean, think about it. What would happen
this is
if
our
the president
ally.
Just if he suspended arms
confused.
To
yeah.
if he suspended arms to a country that carries out assassinations all across the globe that specializes in assassinations, that has an entire wing of its intelligence services that conducts assassinations, including with household goods like pagers, would you not be scared? So yes, Trump is scared. And what I learned from this source, who is a Trump insider, someone who talks to the, who talks to people in the Oval Office, people close to Trump, is that during one of Netanyahu's many visits to the U.S. this year, some figures in his retinue, Israeli agents, placed electronic devices on emergency response Secret Service vehicles. The Secret Service found them and they reported this to the White House. You know, these would be emergency response vehicles that would respond to an incident potentially involving the president.
Yeah, and just responding to some of the verses you guys are sending in, I'll get back to Israel here in just a second. Understand something here. What I'm talking about are people who are willing to listen. If someone who is unwilling to listen, all right, and there, you know what, and you can, if you want to, you can pray for anybody you want. There's nothing that says you can't. But what I'm saying here is I'm talking about people who are willing to listen. Jesus didn't go to everybody. There's people who are not willing to listen. That's, I mean, okay, you can send me verses. I get, you know, Matthew 9:13. I know the verses. I've got Matthew 5:44. I've got them all memorized. I understand what you're talking about. But that's not what Jesus did. Okay? There are people who are willing. You're either misapplying them or you're overgeneralizing. Okay? There comes a place where somebody is unwilling to listen. If they're unwilling to listen, I'm not going to spend any time on them. That's scriptural also. Yep. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What's the verse before it? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. If a household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not hear you nor receive your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. That's what I'm talking about. And they're unwilling to hear you, shake off the dust of your feet is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you don't try to win the lost. It's the people don't understand, again, how to walk in nuance. If a person rejects you and they're like, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. And here's my actions proving that I'm rejecting the gospel of Jesus. You don't need to continue to prostrate yourself before that person and say, please come. Please, Jesus didn't act like that, did he? When did he ever act like that? Ever. He didn't. Doesn't have anything to do with generalized verses about praying over sinners. You pray over a sinner, and if you go to that sinner and they reject you, okay, you just don't, I'm just saying, you continue to pray over them if you want to. But there's no pining or longing or anything, because Jesus didn't do it. That's my point. You can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. I mean, if that's what you want to do. But again, base your Christianity on what the Bible says, not what people feel. And not people's discussions about what they feel. All right, back to Israel. So anyway, Max Blumenthal tells Tim Dillon that Donald Trump fears for his life. Who does he fear? He's actually fearing it from Israel. Go to the next one from me. Mario Nafal tweet. U.S. lawmakers push bill to strip passports over Israel criticism. This is not good, folks. So Donald Trump fears Israel. And then now U.S. lawmakers are pushing bill to strip passports over Israel criticism. I saw somebody put in the chat, it's not okay that people were slaughtered in Israel. Who said that it was? Okay, people are slaughtered in Israel. Are people being slaughtered in Gaza? Yes, they slaughter. Was Israel directly responsible for the murder of 28 million Christians? Yes. You need to read the Bolshevik Revolution. You need to actually read into these things.
Yeah.
You need to understand the difference between secular Israel, which God himself opens up the earth and swallows, and the actual nation state of Israel. Understand that Benjamin Netanyahu is Polish and has a Polish name and renamed himself, changed his name to Benjamin Netanyahu. That's not his name. He's something ski. They're all our Eastern Europeans with hardly any lineage to the region at all. That's reality. Everyone, if you listen, nobody said that it's okay for anybody to be slaughtered. My point is that they're slaughtering each other and want to continue as they always have. Yeah, his last name was Milikowski. That's Benjamin Netanyahu's real name, Milikowski. Just so you know, that's the truth. It's like I'm telling you the truth about what the gospel says about outreaching to the lost. When they will not receive you and reject you, what are you to do, Aaron?
Shake the dust off your feet.
And Christians don't think that's Christ-like. Yep. Christ said it. That way you can live in peace. They rejected me, move on. Now they come to you and say, hey, listen, i.e., Luke 17:4, if they come to you and say, I repent, then you, oh, you're all in, brother.
100%.
100%. Mm-hmm. But if they're like, screw you, and give you an F, you know, give you the middle finger, okay, I'm out. And you're perfectly fine being out. Oh, I'm still going to long for you. No, that's not how Jesus didn't. Understand that. These are the truths about these things. Let me show you this video. Go to the next one for me. Colin Rugg videos. Here's Candace Owens on this weird meeting with some interesting people that took place right before Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Play for me.
In the Hamptons, and he had more than one event, but he had essentially what was staged, an intervention was staged by Bill Ackman. Because Charlie's rational thoughts about Israel were a no-no. This is not the route that you should be going on. And Charlie was surrounded by his friends, his quote-unquote friends. Bill Ackman was very upset, and threats were made. That is what I am told, and I will tell you that I am very happy for Bill Ackman to dispute this narrative. In fact, he was asked to dispute this narrative. Max Blumenthal went out to him today, and Bill Ackman came back and said, I have receipts I can show you. And he did not provide the receipts. And this is not how it went down. I know it went down this way. I'm waiting for one of them to go on record and to say that it didn't go down this way. It was at this time that Bibi Netanyahu was called and Charlie was invited to Israel. This was an under duress situation, I would say, because I've been in these situations before. When I started asking very sensible questions about Israel, as someone who had dedicated her political life to supporting Israel, many times alongside Charlie Kirk, I was met with the very same pressure. And just like Charlie was being invited to Israel, I was invited somewhere else. And when this arrived to me, it felt like a threat. You know, I got to tell you that. It felt like a threat, like not like, hey, come here and we can educate you because you're my friend. More like, this is your last chance. That's how it felt to me. I can't speak to how it felt to Charlie. And I know that Charlie was offered a ton of money in this moment. A ton of money. Bibi would fund it, you know, spend tons of money. And Turning Point, I guess, if it needed to go to a higher level, would have gone to an even higher level than it already was at. And I know for a fact that Charlie denied that funding. That Charlie denied, and what Bibi didn't include there, he declined to go to Israel. For I would describe this as like, you know, re-education camp, you know, we've seen it. You made an uh-oh, but we can help you. You know, we just need you to come out to Auschwitz and take a picture. Yeah. We just need you to come to the Holocaust Museum and take a photo. We just need you to go to Israel and we can make this better. Charlie said no to Bibi. Okay. Bill Ackman, if you would like to dispute that, I would love to hear what you say happened, because our sources and what we have, it's solid. Okay, there were conversations that took place, messages that were sent at that time, and they are solid. So I decided another person that was there, and I am not surprised this person was there. If you've been listening to my show, Seth Dillon, I was going to go out to Seth Dillon, and I decided to message him last night about this Hamptons meeting. And Seth Dillon, who is normally very quick with a response, has not yet been able to respond. I'll show you this text message chain. And I want to be clear, I am not someone who normally publicizes text messages. But my friend was shot in the neck. And I'm just not really in the state right now to be polite when it comes to the answers that I am demanding, okay? This is me out to Seth Dillon last night. I sent him Bill Ackman's tweet because, you know, he tweeted, I feel incredibly privileged to have spent a day and shared a meal with Charlie Kirk this summer. He was a giant of a man. I said, any comment on this one, Seth? He didn't answer last night. This morning I said, need a comment ASAP, please. He didn't answer. Then I followed that up and I said, trying again here, you were present when Ackman lost his mind on Charlie and when Bibi invited him to Israel and Charlie refused. Text messages immediately following this meeting are circulating. I find Ackman's statement, as though the meeting was somehow cordial, to be incredibly disturbing. Are you at all disturbed by that tweet? Do you feel, as I do, that this tweet significantly betrays the defined purpose and mood of his, and I presume your, final meeting with Charlie Kirk? He was unable to speak.
All right, so there you go. Tom, are you saying that Israel had anything to do with the assassination of Charlie Kirk? No, I don't know. I want to know everything. Why was it just very, again, it's just all coincidental, I guess, that there was this struggle session in the Hamptons with Bill Ackman. That's the right
yep.
pronunciation, right? Bill Ackman, who is a millionaire.
Billionaire
activist.
Yeah.
Trump supporter, very pro-Israel, had this meeting with Charlie Kirk because Charlie Kirk was starting to question things that were happening with Israel. Remember, Charlie Kirk, and I attacked him on the show, vehemently came out anti-Iranian bombing for the first like half day and then switched to, well, I have an understanding of why Trump did it. Okay, switched up and became moderate on it. And I attacked him hard for that, and rightfully so. Because you shouldn't be pro that bombing. And if you are, again, it's one of those things. Let's just not call each other fake MAGA, all right? If you are, I understand your reasons. I don't agree with you, and you don't agree with me, and we're not going to change each other. But anyway, so, and then Charlie Kirk reversed himself. And Charlie Kirk has been saying things like, there's no way that 10-7-23 happens. There's no way that happens without somebody telling the Israeli military to stand down. That yep. can't happen. And he was saying other things too. So they were like, okay, now here we are. Now everyone needs to understand something. And this is a red pill show. But Charlie Kirk is huge. I mean, you can take many pundits out there outside of the biggest of the big, like Alex Jones, who has, you know, right now, if Alex Jones is put anything on Twitter, it's 250,000 people watching live, even when it's not live. But even Charlie in some ways was bigger because he got people to come out and vote along with Scott Pressler. But even more so with Charlie Kirk, he's credited with 2 million votes for Donald Trump, minimum. So he's huge. And you cannot, if you are AIPAC and you are the Israeli lobby, you cannot lose Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens, as she said in that video, were adamantly pro-Israel, basically built their careers on being pro-America / Israel. But they're now waking up. Now, you can be like me. I don't look for a Jew under every rock. Some people do. Blame everything. I don't. I believe there's different factions on everything and good and evil on everything. But Israelis and Palestinians, whether it's Hamas, Hezbollah, they want to fight. We don't have any part in it. That's where I stand on it. If I had to pick between Israel and Hamas, I pick Israel because they're a democracy and they're not Muslim. So if I have to pick, but I'm not going to, I don't want to be involved in their wars. Charlie Kirk was starting to come around to some anti-Israel stances. And really, not. It's not even anti-Israel. It is. You need, like, during COVID, you should have been the stances Israel took. Vaccine yeah. passports, forced vaccination, forced masking, shutdowns, lockdowns, everything else. And absolutely denying their own science coming out of their own labs about what COVID was. But anyway, so Charlie Kirk was coming around to being more of at least a moderate towards Israel. So suddenly they call him to this meeting with Bill Ackman. Now, Bill Ackman, and there's a little bio Aaron sent me. Ackman endorsed Donald Trump in 2024. He is of the Ashkenazi Jewish descent. Ackman was involved in a longstanding WhatsApp group chat with Israeli military leaders and top U.S. business leaders with the stated goal to change the narrative in favor of Israel by conveying the atrocities committed by Hamas and help Israel win the war. On U.S. public opinion following U.S. protests against the Gaza war. On June 14th, 2025, Ackman posted a tweet on Twitter advocating for the U.S. to join Israel in its war against Iran. So obviously, an influential pro-Israel billionaire calling for a meeting along with Seth Dillon at a Hampton mansion with Charlie Dillon. I mean, with Charlie Kirk. And Seth Dillon, of course, Babylon Bee. Very pro-Israel. Doesn't mean I discount people because they're pro-Israel. I don't. I just don't want to be involved in Israel's war. I don't want to be the dog that's wagged by the tail. That's where I stand on for any country, including Israel. I don't consider Israel to be above Great Britain. I look at Israel as an ally who spies on us repeatedly. And by the way, last time Netanyahu was here, I've got it buried in my notes here. Maybe I've got it right here. Last time Netanyahu was here, they were bugging Secret Service cars. Mm-hmm. And that's why Israel is not even allowed in Langley, Virginia, in the CIA building. Because every time they walked in there, they're bugging it. Not the Saudis, the Israelis. Tom, you favor Muslims over Jews? No, I just said the Saudis. Aaron, does that sound like it? Sound like I'm favoring anybody?
Nope.
No, I said the Saudis didn't do it, and the Jews did.
Just stating
facts. That's right. That's what a fact is. Nothing you can do about it. That's what a fact is. So suddenly there's this struggle session about how Charlie went trying to, and allegedly, according to witnesses, and some of these sources are pretty impeccable. And like when you're dealing with Candace Owens, Tom, you agree 100% with? No, I don't agree 100% with anybody outside of Jesus. That's it. That's who I'm 100% acolyte for, is Jesus. But is Candace Owens right a lot of the time? Yeah. And I agree with where she stands on Brigitte Macron too and all that. But anyway, and many other things too. And I know about her fighting with Nick Fuentes. I mean, whatever. They're both like coming out pretty anti-Israel and they're fighting each other, but I digress. But anyway, that's again, you don't get involved in that war because it's gonna, you don't get involved in the Candace versus Nick war because they want to fight. Go fight. But anyway, so it's just very coincidental that you have this giant struggle session. They offered Charlie Kirk, now this wasn't at that particular meeting, but in very recent history, offered him a large sum of money to be pro-Israel. He turned it down. Then they offer him a free all expenses paid trip directly from Benjamin Netanyahu, whose real name is something ski. But anyway, Eastern European of Polish descent. But anyway, he offers him an all expenses paid trip to Israel for Charlie Kirk to be re-educated, and he turns it down. And then a few days later, he's shot through the neck. All right.
Weird.
I mean, Tom, what are you saying? Well, I'm just saying I want to know the answers. I want it traced. I don't want it to be, well, if we look into it, we are not going to like what we find. I want to know.
Yep.
I want to know everything. Well, it could be a threat to national security. First of all, it won't be a threat to national security. It will be a threat to people's personal reputations, which does not equate to national security. Sick and tired of hearing it. You expose the Anthony Fauci emails that are all redacted. It's a threat to national security. No, it's a threat to his own personal interest and finances. That does not equate to national interest. So I just want to know. It's very strange. He has this Israel's not known for assassinating people.
No, never.
I mean, you got 9/11. You've got,
don't.
You got the beepers.
No.
I mean,
no.
You got the Armenian genocide. But I'm not allowed to say that because if I curse Israel, I'll be cursed. If I bless them, I'll be blessed. That doesn't apply, you dummies.
But it's in the Bible.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are in the Bible that don't apply to what you're applying them to.
Right.
But anyway, so that's that. I just want to know. I want to know. It's weird that Seth Dillon, who you can't really ever get him not to retweet or comment, won't return her communications. Mm. Weird. Awesome. But anyway, so we'll just continue to look into it. We'll see what turns up, if anything. But it's tough because there's so many insiders involved in this. Trump only has 8 months. They're all still there. And whether it's insiders against Trump, insiders to cover up for Israel, whatever it may be, insiders to cover up for Great Britain. Like I've been saying on this podcast, everything that we've been told is a lie. Just about every last thing we've been told. All right, 10:29. I'm supposed to be over a while ago. But anyway, Rumble Rants tonight. Those Jesus people, $137. Nate Dad won $50. Texas Billy $50. Hefner $20. Jules 21 hours $10. Conservative Warrior $10. Dave Souders $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. I really appreciate it. Really do appreciate it. Thank you guys in the chat. Love you. And listen, we disagree in the chat. We disagree. You got to operate in percentages with human beings. Aaron and I are very close friends. I'm getting to be good buddies with Brent. I'm sure we don't agree on everything. You just have to decide. Are our disagreements tolerable?
Right.
That's what you do. The same thing with church and everything else. But anyway, I love you guys. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. You're going to love it. Stick around for it. I'm trying to think of what else I was going to tell you, but I forgot. But anyway, stick around for the post game. Back here tomorrow night, as always, 9 o'clock. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you.